a minute. Are we sure they're dead?
No, they're still around. They're called Kenzoku now.
God damn it!
Welcome, everybody, to another Warp Drive Active podcast. A long time coming. We're recording this on February 22nd, 2009, which is probably, like, what, a full 2 months since we last did one? Something like that? Anyway,
sort of it's 5 weeks-ish.
Okay, well, okay, must. Close enough. So welcome again. It's been a long time. I'm joined today by the venerable Urban Mongrel. How are you doing, sir?
Venerable, eh?
Oh, venereal, I was going to say, but I guess I was slipping the tongue.
Yeah. That's probably more accurate.
Ugh, can't believe you just admitted to that. Anyway, how's things?
I'm hungover. Therefore, my mind is even slower than usual right at the minute, but...
Yes, this episode of Warped Actor brought to you by the fine folks at Alka-Seltzer.
Yes. Who made this all possible.
Yes, and Jack Daniels? What were you drinking, exactly?
Long list.
All right. No, that's not a good thing.
basically, it was our first weekend I've been able to get back home, and we had a meal out with some guys at work. Whereas one of these technically meant to be a meal out and stuff, but then we just got to the pub and just did not stop drinking. I think we got turfed out about 1 a.m. That was about 6 hours of drinking.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good stress relief, though. I'll give it that. But we were going to record this last night when I was... Yeah, coming in absolutely trolleyed.
Yeah, that was the plan, and then I think you gave me about 30 seconds to get to MSN when you had pinged me to start recording, and I didn't, and then you probably collapsed.
No. I gave you half an hour, dude.
Really? Wow. That's...
Yeah.
But I was out, like I said. I was planning on being back for it, but like I said, I went out grocery shopping and then got detoured because a buddy of mine rolled his ankle pretty bad, so I went to go see how he was doing. Not a fracture, just a really, really bad sprain, and they think actually he might have actually, they might actually have a fracture in there. They're not going to be able to tell him, so they finished a CT scan of it and all that business, but yeah, anyway, he's in a lot of pain, and generally speaking, has just been sitting at home playing World of Warcraft for a long time. So, but yeah, otherwise we would have been here for that, and we would have had the Drunken Urgen Mongrel special. To make up for it, I think at some point we should have another drinking cast. Remember that one time we did that? Oh.
Not this time, hopefully.
Hair of the dog, man.
No drinking on this top cast.
Hair of the dog, bro. Come on. Anyways, yes. So other than your drunken spectacle, how has your life been treating you? Because it has been a while since I think people have heard from us.
So busy as always. Don't really want to go into the whole thing, but they're, you know, work in the power industry, and there were strikes at a whole load of power plants and other stuff in this country a couple of weeks ago now, and yeah, I wasn't on strike, just in case anybody wants to know, although it would have been quite fun to go and smash the state and things, but that caused us quite a few problems, shall we say.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of panic in the big bosses.
No doubt. Strikes are never fun.
Well, I don't know. Chucking rocks at things sounds good to me.
Well, as long as work's keeping you busy, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, I've got to say, though, you know, these strikers weren't that, you know, they need to get better songs for it. Because their strike anthem was always Look on the Bright Side of My Life from Monty Python.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Initiative strike anthem, Nessun Dorma. And I bet you one person will get that. One person listening to the podcast in the entire listenership. There's probably about one by this stage anyway.
Jeez, you know what? We could have made that our contest thing last time, because freaking nobody, like, responded with any kind of Christmas, like, anything. Come on, people.
Honestly. You had $100 worth of stuff that you could have got, and nobody bothered.
Nobody got it. And we can't even take it, so...
Can't we?
No.
Can we just, like, fake it and, you know, put in a P.O. box to send it to, and...
That's interesting, actually. Ah, damn it, we should have thought of that. Maybe we'll edit this out.
Yeah. Let's put a fake story together and we'll sort that out.
Yes.
But while we're doing that, in-game news.
Yes. What's been going on? Has anything been going on? Has it been another really boring past, you know, couple weeks in EVE? No. No, it has not. Yeah. Bob called it quits? Kinda?
No, one person in Bob called it quits.
Yeah, but on his way out the door, I mean, holy crap. Yeah, okay, so Hargoth Agamar, Bob director, left Bob and took the whole damn Alliance down with him, basically. Yeah.
Brilliant. No, basically, he was trying to get himself as, like, an inside spy in one of the Goon Alliances. Someone senior there, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
One of the Goon Alliances. One of the Goon Corps. And it turned out he actually quite liked the Goons. And they kind of worked it out. Or somehow it came out that he was actually the Bob guy. And he quite liked the Goons. So they were kind of like, well, you know, why don't you join us? And he goes, I just might. And they came up with an evil, evil plan.
Yeah, and this is the result. To say this is kind of crazy is, this never happened in EVE on this scale, at least, that I know of, ever. Pretty crazy stuff, basically. it was absolutely hilarious logging in one day and taking a look at the map. On the maps on the forums and stuff that people do for the Alliance maps, and actually watching Bob territory just disappear. Holy crap.
Fell into a black hole.
Yeah, pretty much. And then to make matters worse, of course, Goons being Goons, created their own Alliance called Band of Brothers, because that way when Bob guys decided to get the name back, they wouldn't be able to. So that was pretty good of them, actually. I thought that was quite clever.
In terms of absolute hilarity, but yeah, I mean, it's not just that, he also nicked, I think, about 9 billion, something like that, and a load of ships.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff went away with that one. Can't remember what the actual numbers were now, because it's been a while since we looked at this. Hold on a sec.
Oh, we crap.
What?
Aren't we crap?
No, you.
We?
But at any rate...
It's about 8.5 billion in cash and a lot of stuff.
Whole bunch of dreadnoughts.
Yep.
There was a bunch
19.
Of stuff. That's a lot of dreads. And then basically what ended up happening is afterwards, Bob has kind of, you know, reformed under the new name Kenzoku. Has anyone actually put a translation out there? Because... You know, we were Googling earlier, and Zoku is like family, so I guess it's like Ken's family.
Well, the other thing is, Kenzoku, if you actually Google it, is a closed-down sushi restaurant.
Huh.
So, you know, some old sushi palace.
I'm going to do that right now and see if you're lying. Kenzoku restaurant, closed for business.
Told you.
Hibachi and sushi.
What's hibachi?
Good question. Don't know.
So anyway, Kenzoku is now holding, no longer a restaurant, but now holding many stars, although rather less, because one of the things about having it disbanded is all their Alliance infrastructure stopped working. Jump gates didn't work anymore, towers stopped working. Yeah, just... Brilliant. Sinojammers stopped working. They were open. Wide, wide open.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the thing everyone was watching to see what would happen is how quickly there would be any kind of response from anybody, or enemies of Bob's, to come running on in and start stealing stuff. It really wasn't really all that fast.
It to be fair, Bob put up. Bob Ken put up. Bob and Ken. They're going to get so confused with this. Mm-hmm. They put up a hell of a good fight getting this stuff back working again. You're giving credit for that.
Yeah. Just as an aside, Google being everyone's friend, Kenzoku is actually also a profile on Last.fm of a 17-year-old male in Sweden who has in his love tracks Tool, Killswitch Engage, Phil Collins.
What?
Yeah. What, you don't know Last.fm? Dude, seriously, you don't know Last.fm?
I know Last.fm, but, like, you know...
it's quite a mix, isn't it?
Tool, Killswitch Engage... Entirely typical for a 17-year-old.
Then would say. Phil Collins. Phil Collins testify. Woohoo! So yeah, it's quite very. But anyway,
Phil Collins and Slipknot.
pretty close.
So could that be Sir Mole? Because he's from Sweden.
I don't know. He also likes the Super Smash Bros. Brawl main theme.
I reckon that Sir Mol likes Phil Collins.
This does not look like Sir Mol, and as far as I know, Sir Mol is also not 17.
Yes, but you can't trust the internet. But I reckon Sir Mol likes Phil Collins.
I suppose. Apparently, maybe this guy's a little bit of a poet as well. In his About Me, he's got a poem.
Please read it.
Put the knife away. That's not what anybody needs. There's a better way. Than everything now that you see. Stop comparing who you are to who you want to be, and step out beyond the surface.
That is such a 17-year-old's poem.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's actually a song lyric.
God. That's the kind of poetry Sir Mole would write as well.
Hold on, there's more. You still blame the gun. Throw the finger on the trigger. It's yours. Don't blame the bullet. You already had made up that hole. It's so true.
That touched me deep, deep inside my soul.
So true. Anyway.
Yeah, I reckon that Sir Mole really likes Phil Collins, though. And I also reckon he really likes Rick Astley. In fact, he Rickrolls himself just to be able to check out that video.
Oh, good old Rickrolling. And no, we're not going to do that to anybody. So our links in our show notes will be 100% Rickroll, like, free.
Yeah, it's very obvious what's going to happen if somebody gives you a link with tiny URL. You know that one? It's like,
Yeah,
wonder what that could be.
Oh, yeah, it used to be quite a quite a fun habit of mine to do that to some of my friends on my MSN list of tiny URLing Goatsy. Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that at work.
No.
Not work safe.
No, yeah, I wouldn't do that to myself, obviously, but for you, Urban, I'll do it. Anywho, Bob, for the Alliance formerly known as Bob.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as Bob. Yep, I mean, looking at the map here, they've lost quite a chunk of Delve to the Goonies.
Right, yeah.
Which is, I'm sure that was in Goon's wildest dreams.
Yeah, and, I mean, to be honest... Those people who, you know, are still in Kenzoku, I'm sure they're seeing action every day, constantly. I mean, this has got to be... I mean, for a PvP person, this has got to be almost... Well, not quite a dream come true, one might say, but quite enjoyable to kind of log in and know that you're going to be able to just wander out and shoot something. So that's got to be nice.
Yeah. There's a lot to shoot. Razor in there.
Mm-hmm.
Skunkworks are there.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Imagine something to do with people who manufacture weed.
Potentially.
High-grade weed.
Maybe they're setting up shop to start making boosters out there.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to see. I don't think weed's a very good combat booster.
Softens the blow of the potting.
Well, yeah. Because, yeah. Not that I've done this in a long time, but I have, back in beta, when I was at university, have tried playing the game while stoned, and I don't know if I should leave this bit in, but it didn't help.
Well, since I'm editing this episode, it will stay in. Did you inhale?
Yes, that's the point.
Okay, just checking. Moving along.
What's it? Bill Clinton. not cool.
Anywho.
Skunkworks are drug dealers, presumably.
Presumably.
But... Please, yeah, seeing as you're editing it, you know, you're the one to be sued here, I guess.
Why? I'm not the one hosting it. It'd be Brent.
Brent? We can say anything, and Brent, yeah. Brilliant.
Exactly. It's all Brent's fault. Thanks for hosting our podcast, by the way, Brent. You're the best.
Yeah. We love you, really.
Simply.
You got great lawyers.
Yeah, I hope he does. So, anyway, other than that, it's been...
But you don't know the very, very best thing about all of this?
What is the very, very best thing of all this?
The best thing about all of this is Eve Radio, who, much to everyone's surprise, did something vaguely connected with Eve for once.
Yeah, they had an interview with Diana Bullock.
And the Mitnell, and it all got very, very Jerry Springer. It was brilliant.
Did it? Because I still, to be honest, and this is my failure, I still have not had a chance to listen to this. I have it downloaded sitting on my desktop right now, but I haven't had a chance to listen. So
give us
the recap, dude.
The recap is, listen to it. It is brilliant. Absolutely Jerry Springer to the max. They interview both of them separately, and they bring them in together, and the chair's flying. Very cool.
Really? Was there actual chairs flying?
Well, yes, but given that they're probably in very different cities, miles away from each other, didn't do much good. But yeah, might have broken a few pictures or a mirror or something.
Wonderful. But I mean,
there's a Mitnell is just... How do you pronounce that?
It's not Mitnell. Mitnell's a CCP guy. Right? Mitanni?
Mitanni? Okay. The Mitanni is just the ultimate goon. He really is.
He's a goon.
He's just like, you know, if Goon Swarm could be coalesced into one person, he is just the ultimate goon.
I don't
also
know if that's good or
also
bad.
That is bad. But yeah, more so than like, you know, Remedial, Naked Remedial.
Stop. Don't do it.
Bad urban.
Yeah, it's not good.
But anyway, links will be in the show notes to this.
Not to Naked Remedial, not.
Oh, no. Links will not be in the show notes to that ever. But to the Eve Radio show, links in the show notes. They've got the interviews up as well, but listen to the whole show, because it's 3 hours of absolute lolitude.
Yes, that's pretty good stuff. Well,
in fact, that whole show was just written in pure lol code.
Seriously?
Yeah. You ever seen this on Wikipedia, lol code?
No.
Oh, well, let me give you a link. This will go in the show notes as well. Well, it might do, given that you're doing it. It's a programming language, right? Written in lolcat.
Oh, dear God.
But the language is Turing complete.
Bookmarked. In all logo programs, hi introduces the program. Can has file. instead of include.
Hey, thanks, bye.
That's good, yeah. Oh, my.
And you've got... you've got... oh no! If you got,
it's your exception handling is oh no's. Oh dear God, this is good.
So yeah. See, we're an educational one. Language has been proved Turing complete by the implementation of a brainfuck compiler. Have you ever seen brainfuck?
No, but click I'm clicking the link.
Basically, there are only 7 characters in the entire language of...
Oh, God, that's good. And they're all symbols. That's even better.
Yep.
Dear God. Yeah, I'll have to keep this one for future work use. Anywho...
I do actually Yes, anywho, back to Eve.
Back to Eve.
Do you think they coded the game in Brainfuck?
I'm pretty sure they didn't. Maybe the first couple of versions of Eve. I don't know. We've seen those ones. They're pretty bad. The line ones that look almost like asteroids. Anyway, that's going back to like the really, really, really early. They got screenshots of them somewhere, but anyway.
That's when they had to carve it out of stone.
Yes. Yes, back then. Chiseled. But yeah, so anyway, what else has been going on? I mean, I'm not saying this isn't big news, it's huge news. Before we go on, I guess, what are the possible ramifications of this? How do you see this playing out? And like, you know, this is, in my opinion, this is a pretty big thing for Eve, because I mean, like, it's literally been newsworthy everywhere. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, the places doing it newsworthy, like, you know, for example, the some of the podcasts, mm-hmm. like the excellent
Orbit Backlash.
No. I'm talking about an excellent podcast here.
Oh, yeah,
you fool.
Sorry.
No, we want an excellent podcast, so not ours. In fact, nothing we have ever been connected with in any way, shape, or form. Like, for example, Shut Up, We're Talking on the Virgin Worlds Collective, yeah? Mm. They actually described this as a scandal happening in Eve, and they were saying, like, do you think CCP will damage? No, CCP won't be damaged. It's not a scandal. This is just one of the things that happens in Eve.
Yeah.
It's a story.
But the reason people are doing that is because in any other game, yeah, this would really be a big problem, right? Because, like, Eve kind of supports this in pretty much its core design. Really doesn't... There's nothing they've really coded in there to kind of go against people, doing this kind of... that's what I'm looking for. Infiltration. I guess maybe the mechanic of closing an alliance could be a little bit more... I don't know.
Needs more than one person to do it.
No. Needs more than one button click to do it. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I look at it and I say, you got all these things that you do as a corp that you can rig up to sort of shares, you know, in a way, so it has to be voted on. Well, this, you know, basically an alliance is kind of like a corporation of corporations, right? So maybe in some way, shape, or form, there should be some mechanism of some kind of majority vote of some kind involved in this, but at least a warning to say, hey, you know what, this dude here is trying to shut you all down. Because you see the havoc is pretty much free.
Yeah,
24 hours, something 20, that's...
Yeah, somebody hits a button and then, like, all the other people with access can either vote against it in 24 hours.
Right.
Yeah, all the senior dudes. So something like that, maybe.
Right.
However, the idea that this is a scandal going to hurt CCP is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and there is... the one thing, you know, I guess the one sort of point that I like to make is that a lot of people are like, well, especially Goons, we're kind of going, oh, we won! Goons won! Look what Goons did! Goons didn't really win. Really. I mean, come on. There was no sort of military might involved. Yes, it was a really good social engineering, definitely, but I don't know. I can't really call it a win. Can you?
Nope. It was still hilarious, though.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Pretty epic, pretty awesome, but not really a win. I mean, nobody really expected the great Bob Goon War to go that way. Where, I mean, seriously, what could have happened really is what happened. You know, you could have had basically the components of Bob, or the alliance formerly known as Bob, basically just kind of saying, well, you know what, screw it. And just, you know, go in their own separate ways. And then what? I mean, now what? Goons versus who? You know, like, it's...
That's not gonna happen.
It would have been, like, sort of like the Sopranos ending for that kind of war, which would have been really bad. But, I don't know.
The Sopranos ending? What kind of analogy is that?
Did you see the season finale? The series finale? Obviously not. But there you go. Go read.
We get television like 18,000 years.
Hit the internet. Go to the interweb and get edumacated. Alright, so, but I mean, in terms of the future of this whole thing, do you think Bob, or Kenzoku, sorry, I got used to this, do you think they're gonna actually sort of defend their territory properly? Can they? Will they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they will basically get back to where they were before, which is basically a bit of period basis, bit of delve, and, you know, Quirius. And that's about it, really. I think they will throw out to people who've gone in there who are running around causing as much trouble as possible, as you'd expect.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree. I mean, it takes a while to break Sovereignty 4. You know, it takes a while to gain Sov 4 as well. So, I mean, although I haven't particularly looked up the stats in any of the systems that goons have taken to see if they've actually even gone for that yet. But anyway, presumably they will. I mean, it's not like Bob's kind of alone in this, right? They still have a blue list, and I would presume that there's still a lot of help coming from said blue list right now.
Once they've stopped laughing.
Well, I mean, okay, there's that, but just in general, like, I think knowing now where to strike, that you know you're going to find goons in large quantities, I think is pretty good. So I think you'll see a lot of action happening in that Delav area. Has been, so...
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of action there, but I would see them basically getting back to the status quo, which was before, which is they hold the southeast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's about right.
Except the southwest.
Yes.
Geography was not my best subject at school, people.
Jesus.
Yeah. Actually, one of the proudest things I did in my entire education, the exams you take in the UK at 16 are called GCSEs, yeah?
Okay.
And they're partly exam, partly coursework.
Hmm.
The proudest part of my education was the fact that I managed to convince the idiotic geography teacher, whose name shall remain anonymous because I've forgotten it, that the geography project which I couldn't be asked to do... I'd in fact completed it, given it to him, and he'd then lost it.
Huh. That's not bad.
Yeah.
God. So did you get a passing mark on that, presumably? Or?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Not bad.
Yep.
Not bad at all.
Fucking brilliant.
Well, yeah, so... But anyway, what else is sort of going on?
Tau Ceti, who are, of course, our favourite franchise operation, just continue to spread.
Are they?
Yep, there's more blobs of them appearing. They're now up to 8 blobs, I'm counting.
Sweet, soon there'll be a TCF on every street corner. Kind of like Starbucks.
They're shutting down.
No.
One in our town shutting down, which I can't say I'm particularly sorry about.
It's like one out of, what, 6.5 million franchises?
Yeah. I mean, sorry for the people losing their jobs and stuff, but there's a much nicer independent coffee shop, which is one I go to anyway, so...
It's funny how that's happened a lot, is that you find a lot of people who are, like, really big into Starbucks are kind of also kind of going, well, now that I've told everyone I'm a coffee snob, now I have to actually... try to be one, and you know, by realizing that Starbucks coffee is actually shit, and going to a real coffee shop and tasting what actual coffee tastes like.
Are you accusing me of being a coffee snob?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
not a Starbucks fan. I don't know. I always find their stuff tastes burnt. Like,
oh, I agree.
Their
there.
Roasting processes put all their, you know, coffee beans into a barrel, pour a gallon of gasoline on it, and throw a match. I mean, it's really just everything tastes like charcoal. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it.
You bloody coffee snob.
Just me? Not really a coffee snob. I just prefer coffee to taste like coffee. And not, I just like coffee to taste like coffee. That's it. Sorry.
Back to Eve.
Fine. All right.
Pandemic Legion have grabbed a bit of Sons of Tanagra space, or Tangra, or whatever you pronounce it.
Tangra.
I actually think this is going to be a jumping off point for them to grab a bit of Delve.
You think they need a jumping off point? I mean, that would be like Goonswarm needing a jumping off point, and yet there's a blob of them right in the middle of Delve, and the rest of them are nowhere near it.
Yes, but you shouldn't follow goon tactics all the time.
I'm just saying, it worked out pretty good for them, so, and people like, you know, MPL, they're pretty good.
If you've got a large enough crowd all shouting, ki-ki-ki-ki-ki!
Fair enough.
You're going wherever you damn well want to.
I'm just saying skill-wise, PL could have easily gone in and started nicking things.
Mine now.
Mine.
But what's interesting is they've grabbed the one right on the edge where, you know, you got the old smuggler's gates.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with jump bridges and all the crap like that, it's not as critical as it used to be. I mean, God. Do you remember the absolute panic when those were first put in?
It was
brilliant.
It's like, oh my God, back doors into my regions. And it's like, no, it's not that bad.
It was that bad for us in CFS.
Really? You guys couldn't hold one other system?
Well, we had three stations, right, in Delve at the time. And I think it was Evolution, actually, who came down and took these stations off us as soon as these gates went in. And the best thing about CFS was we didn't have enough members of the parliament there to have a quorum, so we couldn't vote on whether to attack them and try and throw them out. So we just sat there.
Yeesh.
In the great emptiness.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if somebody as skilled as Pandemic Legion really wanted to hunk a Delve, this is now gone. I mean, Bob has been non-Bob for weeks now, so they would have probably done something a little bit more interesting than grab a smuggler's gate system. That's just me.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. But on the other hand, maybe they just want to go and shoot Bob, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pandemic Legion, congratulations on the tournament win.
Yes, it's good stuff.
We'll discuss the whole EVV thing in community news and stuff, but just Pandemic Legion, congrats. Well fought all the way through. I must admit, I was actually cheering for RUR because, yeah, it's a British thing, underdogs and all that, but yeah, you fought well. You deserved the win at the end.
Yeah, good stuff.
Who's Dara Kothrom?
What?
Looking Cloud Ring.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Alright.
Dara Kothrom.
Oh God, stop saying it. You say it bad.
I say everything's bad.
I know. I don't know. What of them?
I don't know. Who are they?
They're an alliance.
In Cloud Ring.
Cloud Ring.
In deep.
I have no idea. There's also no Ellen Kothrom, just so you know, Urban. But I don't know. When did they start popping in there? I really haven't been keeping an eye on it for the last couple weeks. So
yeah, they've kind of really grown there. There was a little area, but they've gone really quite heavily into Arn space. So pretty good. Arn the Nomads.
Hmm.
And speaking of franchise operations again, mostly harmless.
Are they moving around all over the place again?
They're all on the move. Obviously, you know, they don't like the neighborhood, so they move on. Nomad Alliance, really.
And the East is still as colorful as it always has been. Wow.
Yes, but in a lot of ways it's red, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But still... It looks neato.
Yeah, it looks like Jackson Pollock to a certain extent.
Yeah, some extent.
Artistic reference, hooray.
Yes, but you got Legion of Death all over the place, along with Shadow of Death. A lot of death happening out there. Doesn't seem very friendly at all.
But then you've got Solar Wing and Solar Fleet and Eternal Dawn, so there's a lot of sunniness going on there as well.
Ness. Interesting. Ironically, at the west and eastern edge of the east of the map. Anyway.
Straws and clutching, Blinky.
Exactly. Beyond that, I have nothing to say about this whole area, because I don't know.
But Kia are still doing quite nicely up where Pure used to live. It's going back a bit now, actually. Mm-hmm. And the Initiative. I don't like these The Alliances, I've got to say.
Why?
I don't know, it's like, you know, they used to be like The Bands always, like, you know, the Hives and things. And there was Number Bands before that.
Like The Who? You know,
Sub-51. The Who were allowed to do it because they were, like, really old school.
What about Who?
Who? Yeah, The Who really confuses Google search engines if you put it in.
Yep. It's like, did you mean Who? Like, yes? I guess?
that is a short word and can't be found. Who is a short word and can't be such
a... Exactly, it's the worst band name ever.
To be honest, I don't think Google... I think Google have to adapt to the Who, given that the Who came first.
I suppose, but...
Not the other way around.
Coming back from this small tangent, yeah.
Morris Meehee doing their thing up in tribute. I like Morris Meehee, I've got to say.
It's mostly because you can say their name right.
Yes. I can pronounce Latin names.
Only took 40 podcasts to do it, but yeah.
Well, I said I can pronounce enough Latin names, and I saw CVA, and I said, nope, definitely can't pronounce that.
Just call them CVA. They kind of took care of that for everybody else.
Yeah. So, guys, you still working with AAA?
Of course. Yeah, we're still down there and everywhere.
Are you still welcoming your Russian overlords?
Yeah, actually, it's been a lot of fun, actually. I mean, in terms of playing EVE, I guess we never really covered this in the first segment. I've been busy, well, oddly enough, with work, but, you know, we got our document business done, so now we're fielding all the stupid questions from the clients on the 400-page design document that we delivered. So, yeah, playing EVE has not been an option for me over the last few weeks, unfortunately. But, yeah, AAA guys are hilarious to chat with, so it's been good. And there's been a lot of action in and around, of course, that whole area of space, as well as in Delve, actually, of course, because they're blue to Bob. So, Marthy Alliance, formerly known as Bob. God. So, yeah, it's been a pretty busy time for everybody. We've been all over the place in the southwest-ish area, so good stuff.
Speaking of the southwest-ish area, who are the Coven?
Huh? I don't know.
Witches.
Oh, weren't those guys... Oh, yeah, okay. These guys, they've been there for a while.
I know, but I don't know who they are.
Don't know either, but we used to see them come rolling through a period basis when we used to be in there as MC. And, yeah, it was like, oh, look, Coven. Bye, Coven.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, well, not even that. They'd roll in when there was, like, one person in local and come in with the hack gang and look for them and then leave. It's like, all right, well... I mean, any kind of stand-up fight, they were gone. So...
So they used a magic disappearing trick.
No, they just, you know, ran. So they're one of those kind of targets of opportunity type of gangs, at least, that were coming through us. But anyway, other than that,
other than that, Systematic Chaos is still a stupid name.
Oh, jeez. You're a stupid name. No, I really don't have a problem with it. It's got some panache.
It's wrong. It's an oxymoron.
I know. And your name is spelled wrong.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but definitely dominating the news period over the last while has been the Bob thing. So, everything else, I know there's more going on, but it's just everything's been so eclipsed by it. It's pretty crazy. In fact, I don't know if anyone here reads NeoGAF, but there is a gigantic thread on there about it, and which is NeoGAF's kind of like a video game industry-ish forum. It's quite good. It's a pain in the ass to get on, like in order to actually get an account. But, you know, when you get it, yeah, you can go crazy on it. But yeah, there's a pretty sizable thread about the EVE Online drama thread, they call it. And it's been going for quite a while. So, some pretty interesting discussion in there. And a lot of people basically just going over, like, well, one guy made an interesting post in there saying they should basically just write out the Bob versus Goons drama in total and sell it as a book, which actually got some general agreement out of everybody, because really, that's kind of the neat thing about EVE, is that you know, the stuff that actually happens in EVE, it does sound extremely, well, you know, sci-fi-ish, you know, epic novel-ish, I guess, if you will.
You tell Tony that.
I was pondering it, because then he might be a guy that could write a book and then publish it. About EVE.
Well, I don't think he'll publish it.
Well, someone will, but...
No, yeah, but, yeah, Tony, well, he's written one book, so presumably he's looking for another one.
Yeah, I know. presumably, I think...
Were you just
being
a moron?
Yes, yes. You just didn't bite. But, anyway, yeah, no, given the ending of that book, I would assume that he has a sequel in mind. yeah, we'll see how that goes.
It's
my guess. So, you haven't read it, obviously, haven't you? Because you would have been totally agreeing.
Tony's book. Yeah, yeah, of course I've read it.
Well, then agree with me on that point, then. Because, I mean, you know it's totally playing up a sequel. I mean, come on.
He definitely left a lot of room there to move on to a sequel. Should...
There you go.
I don't know. Should he not... should a sequel become something desirable? And from what I heard, actually, the book actually sold far more than they expected, and it's on its third printing run.
Nice.
So I would expect there to be a sequel.
A sequel? With an R? A
sequel. Yeah. English.
Awesome. But yeah, so... But the point that was interesting to make is that this is... normally something, if it ends up on NeoGAF for any length of time, it's usually a pretty sizable issue of some kind, because there's usually a lot of industry people in here. So it was quite interesting to actually go through the thread and read some people are saying, especially people who aren't playing EVE, who look at this and go, like, this kind of stuff happens in EVE, and it's like, yeah, you know, not quite on the scale, but, you know, now it has. So, yeah, it's definitely caught the eye of a lot of people, which would probably explain... why, you know, we're seeing some record numbers, you know, in people on the servers, right? They busted the 50k cap. Woohoo! Go Eve. Mm-hmm. So, pretty awesome stuff. Anyway, is that about it for Alliance News, I think? FAILMAILS.
Damn you with your spelling powers. There is meant to be a space in there, but anyway.
No, it's one word. I make it one word. Anyway, fail mails. Woohoo. Which we hilariously lapsed back into calling law mails last week. I don't know why we managed to do that, but... Anyways.
Anyway, shall I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a possibly been done before one. I'm not entirely sure because it's one from back in the day, but it's so good maybe it will get done twice. This is from Raymond Curran, right? And it's Just Bess from State Protectorate, and it is an Hyperion. Are you ready for this, Blinky?
Did you just say an Hyperion?
An Hyperion, yeah. A Hyperion?
I would say a Hyperion. I don't know. That's just me.
It is a ship of the Hyperion persuasion.
Yeah, exactly. A Hyperion persuasion.
Anyway, here's the link.
Sorry. I digress.
Yeah.
Ooh, Galente.net, Killboard. Woohoo.
Well, yeah. This is from State Protected. This is a laser and, well, a laser artillery railgun and heavy missile Hyperion. Can't decide which weapon system you want. Go for the lot.
No artillery on this guy. It's just railguns and lasers and missiles. And well, I'm not saying it isn't lame. Anyway, go on.
Okay, high slots. He has got a bunch of heavy beam laser ones, two mega beam laser ones, with infrared L and radio L. What's the names? Crystals, that's the word I'm looking for.
There you go.
Yeah, so nice mix of ranges there. We like that. Not. Then we've got heavy missile launcher one, and some heavy missiles to go with it, some Widowmakers. Then we have got one single 45... No, sorry, two railgun 45 railgun ones.
Oh,
indeed. Going down to the mid slots, right? 100 mega newton afterburner one. Well, at least it's a battleship-sized afterburner.
Kudos to you, sir.
We'll give it that there. Yes. Cap boosters. Okay, fair enough. Cap boosters, generally good idea. On Galente ships.
Mm-hmm.
You got Hyperion, is it? It tends to be a particularly cap nasty on its cap, like, you know, in the Megathron.
Depends what you're fitting. if you're going blasters, which is kind of sort of what you would want to do with Hyperion in a lot of ways. Yeah, I mean, cap's usually going to be somewhat of an issue, so having something like a booster is probably not a bad idea.
Yes, blaster ships are awesome as long as you can keep them firing for long enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that's the idea. You're typically doing something with your recharge rate, or boosting. But Go on.
Anyway, he's got basically now a shield tank. So invulnerability field 1, kinetic deflection amplifier 1, and large emergency shield overload. low slot. Ooh, he's going for an omni tank here. Energized crystal reflective membrane 1. Okay, so that's obviously an armor right thing. 1600 plates.
Yeah, two of them. That's a hell of a plating.
Yep. Tracking enhancer 1. Yeah, hell of a plating. This thing, I'm sure those things have stacking penalties on them. They must do.
What?
Yes.
What? 1600s?
Yeah.
No.
You sure?
Yep.
They kill your afterburner though.
Oh well, yes.
Yep. Anyway, he's got a tracking enhancer 1. Not necessarily too bad on Galenti, depends what you're doing, of course. Large armor repairer 1. Energized adaptive nano membrane 1. Drone A 3 wasp 1s.
How quaint. Wasps.
Yeah, heavy drones there, so presumably you must be shooting something quite big. I don't know.
That's what she said.
Yeah. No rigs even. No rigs. And he's got a load of different ammos in his cargo hold.
Yes.
Pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. So, in general, Hyperions are very good ships. But don't put lasers on them, especially 3 of them.
This is... You know what? I've flown a Hyperion, and I actually had no idea that... I can't ever recall noticing that there was even a missile slot on the ship. Because it's
not you, what you think.
You just don't use the missile slots on Galente ships. I don't know. This is me. I don't... I suppose, depending on how you were fitting this... Like, normally I would go... I mean, I've got an all-rail Hyperion fit as well as a blaster one. And depending, I guess, on your skills, you might not be able to fit that last gun. So, it might give you an opportunity to do some kind of anti-support business happening there. Your 1600s don't give you stacking penalties, but they will definitely ruin your day in terms of, your speed. Your mass gets increased massively. So it takes you forever to actually, go to warp and whatnot.
Basically, you're putting on, was it over a meter of extra armor around the outside of all of your ship?
Yeah, I mean, looking in EFT, he gets an effective HP of 68,141, which, and this is with all 5 skills, all level 5 skills benefit. So, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, interesting, but DPS-wise, I mean, he's got a volley damage of 992, which is pretty high. This, I think, is a very clear example of somebody using EFT to fit a ship for something like a high defensibility and high, DPS, or volley damage, I should say, in this case, DPS is 176, but using EFT to kind of say, maybe I'll just try this out and see how it works, and it doesn't work that way in a practical manner.
What's it going to do to his cap?
He's cap stable, again, level 5 skills, for 1 minute and 31 seconds. That's not long. That's with everything on, everything turned on. So turning off, let's say turning off the salvager and the tractor beam, 1 minute and 34 seconds.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Yeah, massive difference. It's really, this is a fairly cap intensive setup he's got going here anyways.
Just a bit. Looks like a couple of Throns and a Dommy took it out. It doesn't look like it took out that much damage. Looking at this, it's something more along the lines of 40,000 HP, so presumably didn't have all level 5 skills.
Presumably. I would imagine that, given the fact that there's a heavy amount of Tech 1 gear on there. That would be my guess, is that it's basically this guy doesn't really have much in the way of skills in order to actually fly it.
Anyway, sir, your turn.
Okay. Well, this is one of those things that's kind of less of necessarily a fail fit, and just one of those ones that we all cry about when we see it. And I love these myself, just because it's like, you get to see the nice, big, expensive toys and gear kind of go down the tubes. Now, there's a story to this. Well, it's more of the story about, you know, what happened afterwards. But I'm going to send you the kill mail right now, and we'll go through this and talk about what's actually going on here. So this is a Raven Navy issue battleship.
Expensive to start off with.
Yeah, this is not Kaldari Navy Ravens, you know, this is the Navy issue stuff. They're cha-ching. Yeah, they're pretty expensive. This is actually, it's a hell of a fit, really. I mean, when you look at this, I mean, let's walk through here. I mean, we got cruise missile launcher 2s across the board up top, and then, you know, a salvager, just for giggles. We'll probably just, well, you know, for salvaging. In the mids, he's got a Gisty X-type X-large shield booster. You know, nice stuff. Got some Capri Charger action happening there, some ballistic deflection stuff, you know, various shield tanking happening there.
Yeah.
And then a nice Pith B-type shield boost amplifier. Cha-ching. So we got, you know, basically a whole pile of faction stuff happening here. Page capacitor flux coil down in these in those lows, some BCUs, and some PDSs, so power diagnostic systems, and some ballistic control stuff. Neural Tech 2. Nice fit.
Very nice fit.
Very nice fit. So we can't really fault them for that at all, because that's...
Well, I always like to get at least some sort of speed mod on a battleship, but...
Sure. I mean, but depending on... I mean, this is probably... Who knows what he's doing with it, right?
To be honest, Ravens, it's not that critical compared to a lot of ships, so yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's vicious. I mean, he's got, like, a volley damage of 2992, so he can't...
Blimey!
That's good. He's fitted with Wrath Precisions. This is just gonna, like, blow your mind when you get hit.
Yeah.
And a effective HP of 71.8k, so that's pretty good for a Raven. Because I mean,
Jesus, look what he's got in his cargo hold.
Yes, this is where it gets a little bit crazy. By the way, he's also got, you know, rigs going like crazy for capacitor and whatnot. But
he's got capacitor control 2s,
yeah,
which are bloody expensive.
Well, he's got one capacitor control 2, and the others are tech 1s, so that's not too bad. But still, yeah, they're pretty out there.
The 2 2, you don't get much change.
Yeah.
And the board is saying, what, 234 million?
Yeah, 243 million for the CCC3, or CCC2.
And nothing so, like that on the market.
They're way more than that, yeah. Drone bay is some pretty basic Tech 1 drones, nothing too crazy. In his cargo bay, it looks like he was moving. Basically, he's got a lot of stuff happening in there. Blueprints for a lot of things. He's got some skill books. A lot of Tech 2 stuff sitting in his cargo bay. This looks like definitely like somebody was moving some stuff around. There were some faction tags and stuff like that. And some other faction gear in there as well. There was some Gisty micro warp drives. We've got some, what else we got in here? Some more Tech 2 stuff. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff dropped too. So whoever, you know, bagged these guys, it's pretty nasty. So this is, I guess, just say who actually sent this to me. This is Tim MC sent this to me, and it's Mindfire of Order of Death, who's the Raven owner, former owner of the Raven. So yeah, price wise, admittedly, yeah, kill board's kind of out to lunch. I mean, you're looking at a ship loss of 600 million, which I think would be low. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Total module loss of 1.4 billion and total module drop of 3.5 billion, coming up to total loss of 5.5 billion. Definitely understated number. Ouch! So,
ouch, indeed. Wow.
Right. So the story of this whole thing after the fact is this guy ends up leaving Eve. I'm not entirely sure if this was probably the only reason why he left, but I would say probably a contributing factor, considering he mentions it quite heavily, because it was basically, I think, everything that he had was in that ship, including all the money he had was sunk into this stuff. So, yeah. But it sounds like the story here is he was... Oh, wait. Yeah, the story is here that he was leaving, and he just basically flew this into a camp system on purpose.
Hey guys, have my stuff.
Yeah. It says, my fully high-graded crystal clone will fly my beloved Gisty X-type Permatank CNR into the system. Apparently, Permatank is a semi-accurate assessment of this thing at this point. But it says, in the system EC-P8R on Friday, January 16th, I'll enter via the Torino's gate. So he basically said, come kill me. And they did.
And, I actually know somebody who did something quite similar, not quite in the same way. It was a very famous pirate who was a DJ on Eve Radio as well, and he was leaving the game to get married and stuff, and he had a kid on the way as well. I think that was it. So what he did is he wanted to make sure he would never, ever come back. So he went and literally gave away everything he owned. And, you know, for the time, it was crazy what he was giving away. This is when the battleships are quite rare, and somebody just answered a really easy question, right? He goes, congratulations, you've won 4 Megathrons. You know, that kind of thing.
Eek. Well, it sounds like apparently he's also paid out 2 billion ISK in this case to the guy who actually gets the kill mail. So apparently he has done this, according to the forums. I mean, yeah, definitely not a fail mail, I would say. But it's kind of an interesting way for someone to exit the game, I think. You don't see this too often.
So why did you put this in the fail mail section?
I don't know. Just I think it was just worth mentioning. It's kind of...
kind of a nice story, isn't it?
It's a good story. It's interesting. I mean, I'd look at that ship fitting and I kind of cry. Why would you kind of just let it die? But I'm not even...
See, the crime does in fact pay.
Yeah. So, but it was more just an interesting anecdote. I know it's not an actual fail mail. So I gave you this one this week, but yeah.
Well, mine wasn't terribly good, at least not compared to the Dommy we had last time. But
that was a little bit nuts.
Oh, he's got Myrmidon blueprint there. Jesus.
Well, if you like, we could do one more of an actual fail mail.
Be my guest, sir.
Okay, hold on. We'll just get this one to you here. So now we've got story time out of the way. let's get to the goods. So this is let's see here, hold on. Who sent this to me? This is a Ransom sent this to me. It is Gutsy Gecko of Lunar Swords, who is in Veritas Immortalis.
I like the name.
You like the Alliance name too?
They've been around for a while.
Go ahead and say it.
Veritas Immortalis.
Shit, you only said it right because I said it first. But anyway.
Hey, I studied Latin.
Okay, news to me. After hearing you botch every Latin name that you've ever said. Anyway.
I'd botch every English name I've ever said.
This is true. Mr. Mongrel. So basically we have here, it's a Megathron. An amusingly fit Megathron, would you not say?
Give me the link and I can tell you.
I thought I sent it to you. Okay, well, I'll do this right now then.
Okay, I've got it now. Yep. Right.
Okay, so this is a Megathron. And it has an interesting fit. Would you not say?
It's just loading. Give me a minute.
Okay, while you load this, I'll describe it to folks. It's kind of one of these things that occasionally we'll run across. I don't know. I look at this and I think it's somebody who has... skills in one area of the game and is just basically trying out other ships and not really putting forward the effort to train the skills required to properly arm them. So I think this might be what's going on. But this is like, yeah, it's pretty much loaded with 1,200mm howitzers across the board, along with some...
Artillery Megathron to start with.
Yeah, yep. They're already Megathron. He's got enough capacitor flux coil 2s in the lows to pretty much power the ship and all of Eve forever. damage control 2 for giggles, and in the mid slots, shield tanking.
I'm feeling this one very badly.
And rigged yet with capacitor control circuit 3s. I mean, This begs me to load this in the e-fitting tool and see what's actually going on. Giving this person the benefit of level 5 skills, as we typically do, just because it's easier. Effective HP of 58.7k. Reasonable. Volley damage 1674. Okay, it's howitzers. Big surprise. These are Tech 1 howitzers, by the way. 120.
So huge alpha strike.
Yeah, 122 DPS. Hee hee. Yeah, somehow he's only cap stable at 58% with this. It's basically with the shield tanking and everything turned on. That's probably what does it for him. But I don't know, man. Why would someone do this to a Megathron?
I know. I love some of the comments that goes, "Extreme Flux!"
Yeah, some of the gold on these kill mills, by the way, is the comments that you see people on the kill boards.
Somebody else has got, pro tip, a cap sustainable setup doesn't work when a curse is newting you. Very true, that.
And, yeah, it's, again, these are pretty good, it's pretty good stuff. I mean, let's just,
Artillery Megathron, though I've seen everything. We are seeing a lot of abuse against Galente ships of late, aren't we? And it's not like these things are weird, hard to set up, really, is it?
Exactly. They're not that tough. You
know, the battle ships. Especially, you've got some very odd ships in the Galente thing, but nothing compared to the Martyrs. I mean,
I agree. But, I mean, you know, these things, I don't know, dude. It's just like, it's not that tough to set these things up. I mean, by comparison, one of my Megathron setups gives me a volley damage of 2192 and a DPS of 318, which is not bad. This is with railguns.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you got some decent range on that as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, let's see what my sniper...
half decent range, not.
Well, I mean, my sniper fitting even blows this out the water. I mean, typically your sniper thing's completely for range, and I mean, it's like I get about 1800 volley, 351 damage or damage per second, yeah. And in this case, yeah, I mean, my targeting range is 250k, so.
There's a reason why artillery is completely useless on ships, except for the ones which have got bonuses for them. It's because their rate of fire is so utterly pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever find yourself at a gate, and around that gate at range is a whole lot of, like, tempests, you know, run.
That's bad.
You're gonna die, because, I mean, like, honestly, the volley damage coming off of a properly fitted Tempest is nasty. But that's it. When they fired, they might as well... I mean, the rate of fire is just ridiculous on those guns. But, yeah, at range, they're nasty little beasties. I don't know, man. This is just not... Yeah. A lot of Megatron abuse these days. I cry every time I see it.
Yeah, rightly so.
So...
Anyway, that's enough of that. If you have a fail mail... Oh, how much money are we going to give out?
Oh, yes. Money.
Money.
Let's see. The lowest value thing on this Megathron fitting... Yeah. The Salvager 1 at 40k.
Yeah, that seems to be a fairly good one. Should I go for the cap boosters? That's a bit cheap. Okay, I go for the Kinetic Deflection Amplifier 1 at just under 80k. Now, what other podcast will give you great cash prizes like this?
None.
I ask you.
I have answered. I have said none.
Yeah.
And the money is on its way, Brentum. Enjoy. Don't spend it all in one place. You're a winner. There we go.
Money will be given after the show, in my case, because my computer's crap and I can't have Skype and Eve running at the same time.
Wow. Time to upgrade, dude.
Yeah, well, credit crunch.
Indeed. So, moving along. Speaking of upgrading... Along. Did you catch that segue? Was that not awesome? We have
this
a new...
This is a discussion point.
Yes, discussion point. We have a new dev blog from Zulu Park, who has now, I guess, moved on from totally decimating capitals to ruining whether or not you can actually play the game. I'm kidding, Zulu's awesome, but so apparently they're doing some stuff with the EVE clients, notably, of course, the classic client right now, because EVE basically comes in two flavors, right? You have classic and you have premium. I think most people who kind of maybe single box it are running premium, unless you have a really old computer or a laptop.
Hi.
Yeah, there you go. In which case, or if you're sort of multi-accounting or multi-clienting and so whatever, you're probably running Classic because of the reduced memory usage and all that stuff. Well, that apparently is going to change with the introduction of Premium Light. It's like light beer, I guess.
Light beer sucks. Is there something good which has the word light in it, which is good?
Light speed's kind of cool.
No, but it's L-I-T-E, because that's what, like, marketing demands light is spelt like.
I guess.
But light beer sucks.
I'm just trying to think of what actually... Lightbright was kind of cool. I don't know if they had some crazy English equivalent of that. It was played with
rocks. No idea. It was what?
I don't know. Guys seem pretty ghetto in some things. but so yeah, so let's deal with this. They're basically, okay. So basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to improve their pipeline, right? That's, I think, the biggest issue here in terms of if they're creating new content right now, they've basically got to do it twice, right? Because the classic stuff, a model for a ship, for instance, is going to be scaled down in terms of polygon count and all this other stuff, texture quality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For anything, be a station, a ship, a gun, turret, you know, anything. So this way, with Premium Light, what they're trying to do is create the content once, and the client itself will handle this sort of scale down. And so they don't have to, like, sit there making the content twice, which is, I think, a good time saver on CCP's part.
Well, yes. Lots less effort.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is, well, it's basically graphics. That's the only side of it which they're going to be playing with. And so for the upcoming expansion, which, using my Wikipedia naming method, is going to be Jack the Ripper Conspiracy Theories expansion.
Interesting.
Yes, which is going to be on the 10th of May. They're going to be getting rid of Shadum.
10th of March.
10th of March, even. It's an M word, I don't know. And they're going to be discontinuing Shader Model 1. Apparently Shader Model is just one word, which is for the GeForce 5 series, the ATI R300 series, and that kind of thing. And frankly, if you are still using one of those cards, because my machine is not very good, and even I'm past that now.
Well, you sort of got that a little bit off. What they're going to do is they're discontinuing support for Shader Model 1, but Shader Model 2 is going to be the new minimum requirement, right? So yeah. The GeForce 5 series and the ATI R300 stuff and up will be fine. Stuff below that, not so much. Now, to be honest, what they've talked about here was in the dev blog was that they, you know, it says currently EVE can be played on GeForce 2 or ATI Radeon 7000 series cards. Support of these cards was discontinued in 2002 by the manufacturers, a full year before EVE was even first published. So let me just say, if this is an issue for you, what else are you playing? Like, honestly, like, you can't really do anything with these cards. Like, that's really, really old tech. I'm not saying that, you know, that basically everyone's going to have to upgrade and should have to upgrade off of this, and it's not really a forced upgrade. I've got cards sitting here that I can't give to people because they're just so old. Like, I've got, like, what was it? GeForce 4 sitting around. I mean, it's like, yeah, people are just throwing these out, really. I mean, it's... Honestly, you could probably get the cheapest card possible and totally blow away what you're running. So, yeah, apparently this is, what they said, is a two-step process, right? Step one was one we just mentioned, where they're changing what they're doing for Shader Model 2 stuff. And then they say in the winter expansion 2009, hint, hint, we are considering discontinuing support for Shader Model 2. So this makes the minimum spec Shader Model 3, which is a GeForce 6 cards and up, as well as ATI X1300s or compatible or higher. So that's probably a bigger issue. That's more of an upgrade than step one will be, but to be honest, I think with the way the card prices have dropped so much recently, this is really not going to be a humongous deal for people to move up with, right?
It really isn't. I mean, I saw a GeForce 8800 for under £40,
right,
in my local PC world. So. You know, that's Yeah, that's less than a week's worth of dole money.
Yeah, I suppose the people hit worse for this would be people with laptops that have to be upgraded, right? Because
or students.
So I guess I can sympathize on that particular point. Because, I mean, obviously... But then again, if you're running a laptop that's that old, it's probably on its last legs.
They don't tend to live terribly long, do they?
They don't. It's kind of unfortunate. I mean, mine's been going pretty good, but I can definitely tell it's starting to get creaky with age. But I think the benefits to Eve as a whole are huge compared to the downsides on this, because, like, again, streamlining that pipeline means things get released faster. There's less effort on CCP to have to do things twice, or have to deal with issues that are affecting the gameplay on one platform or one client versus the other, right? I think it's an excellent idea.
I love the title of it as well. It's I can totally play that on my Amiga. The title of the dev book. Did you have an Amiga?
We did back in the day.
Yeah, I used to have. I had the A500 Plus, and that got nicked when the house got burgled. So then I got an A1200.
Someone stole your whole house?
Yeah, exactly.
You woke up and you were laying in the dirt, going, "Where'd the house go?"
Something's changed, and I just can't put my finger on it.
And then your brain was totally blown by, was it ever there to begin with?
Dun, dun, dun.
It was all a dream.
Living in a house, it was just this crazy hallucination.
Exactly. But, yeah, no, the Amiga was a pretty cool little system, actually.
For its time, it was kick-ass. It was nothing.
It was way too expensive, though. That was the killer on it, was the cost.
It was pretty cheap over here.
Not here. Oh, man. No. It was up there. Really up there.
It was a couple of hundred quid. When you consider even the equivalent PC, which is sort of 386 level, was, grand and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really, really good value over here. But...
Well, the only reason that they were really popular in some areas, some industries, was because of the multimedia capabilities, obviously, right? For any kind of video editing, rendering and stuff like that. It was pretty good for the day.
Well, you remember Babylon 5?
Yep, done with Amigas.
Done with Amigas.
It was the first... That was the initial movie, was. They very quickly upgraded past that somewhere in Season 1, if I remember.
Well, no, they actually used what was known as a video toaster then, which was actually just a modified Amiga.
That was a cool... Yeah, that was a cool little platform, that one.
Yeah, that was just an Amiga A4000 with extra RAM and hard drives fitted.
Yep.
So, yeah, all Amigas.
Good old Babylon 5. That's awesome.
I've still got my A1200 somewhere.
Kind of a digression from the Eve stuff, but I was reading on NeoGAF the other day. There was a guy who just recently started watching Babylon 5. Kind of heard so much about it, decided, fine, I'll just go check it out. And yeah, it was interesting seeing the impressions of somebody walking into it to start and watching, Season 1 and kind of going, wow, this is terrible. I'm like, stick with it. Seriously, stick with it. Because, yeah, Season 1 sucks. The effects are cheap because, low budget. And the acting is totally horrible. But the story actually does play out quite a lot as the seasons go by.
It gets better.
Yes, it does. And you remember the initial captain that they had for it, right?
Yeah.
Sinclair. Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't. That guy was horrible. I mean, it was like they could have had a cardboard stand-up and had better acting out of that. Oh, it's terrible.
But the thing is, after William Shatner, I suppose they must want to get bad actors to be the captain of spaceships.
I guess. But then they got Bruce Boxleitner.
Hold on, am I insulting Canadians here? And a Canadian here, and you haven't picked up on it?
No, you're just really insulting Shatner.
Anyway, the next bit is, our benevolent dictator for life, Mr. Brett, over at Virgin Worlds.
Yes.
Brett, who doesn't answer my IMs.
Is he even on an instant messaging client? Like, I don't think he is.
Yeah, he is occasionally, just not answering me, but frankly, who can blame him?
Well, which instant messaging client? Anyway.
Skype.
Well, that's not really instant messaging. Anyway.
Anyway, yes. Brett, our Lord and Master, etc., etc., has done his predictions for 2009, and it's for lots of games companies. Link to this in the show notes. And one of the ones he has said for EVE Online, are you ready for this?
Go for it.
EVE Online will not launch Ambulation in 2009.
Huh. Hard no. to say.
No idea on that one, to be honest. I haven't seen it made much progress in 2008, to be honest, based on the little snippets we got at FanFest.
Again, it depends on the size of the team, I guess, but I don't know. They really haven't been very verbal about a lot of it, so...
No, so we don't know about that one, so okay, we'll take the one with a raid check. His next bit, he said, the game will maintain its subscriber numbers, but will begin to lose almost all but the most dedicated players. Right? So, firstly, how does that work? How can you maintain numbers and lose players? Right?
Well, you know? That aside for the moment, I mean, like, EVE is, like, nothing but dedicated players. It's I don't know, most players that I know of, at least, are pretty... I mean, I guess you either like the game and stick with it or hate it and leave it really fast. But, I mean, yeah, most people who have been around a while are pretty, I think, pretty dedicated to it. I mean, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, right, EVE is not a perfect game. It's broken in a number of pretty bloody profound ways. I mean, for example, the sovereignty thing, as we have said many times, really, really needs to be sorted.
Yeah, no, and I think they know that.
But the thing about EVE is there is a certain group of people out there who can't get their fix doing anything else. There is no other game which can give them this particular fix. And that's why people stick with it. I mean, you know, we've been with it for over 5 years now, coming up on 6 years. Mm. Actually, probably more than that if you count, because we're beta players, you know.
Has it been that long?
It has been that long. Yeah, God. Yeah, it's been, you know, you can't not, you know, you kind of catch it and you can't get rid of it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like athlete's foot.
Never had it. Should, thanks.
Maybe they should send that to marketing. The new slogan, EVE, it's like athlete's foot.
Massively multiplayer foot fungus.
Yes.
MMOFF. Momoff. Yeah, I think, like, I'll pass. Thanks. Yeah,
that's just like the changing room in high school, really. Yeesh. Anyway, he says, we'll lose all but most of the dedicated players as a Care Bear audience begins to grow tired of the lack of real developments and the true... and the high rate of ganking in ISPACE exploits and cons. Now, again, not being a Care Bear, but I really disagree with this bit as well. Because, frankly, the Care Bears always have something to do, because it's not like any other games when, you know, there's no point in crafting anything because just looted drops become better than anything you can do anyway, so there's no point, and, you know, inflation drives everything through the roof the whole time. You know, CCP and EVE is one of the few games where being a Care Bear actually has any kind of purpose whatsoever.
This is true. This is very, very true. And again, your Care Bear people, I mean, they're... This is the game that lets them play spreadsheets online, right? I mean, it's one of the most complicated industry type of components that you'll ever see in MMOs. I mean... at least you have seen so far. So, I don't know. This is probably the most rewarding experience some of these guys are going to get out of the game. I don't think you're going to see them walk anytime soon.
Again, it's a fix which people can't get anywhere else.
Exactly.
In 2009, CCP will begin... let's do that again. Brent then continues with, in 2009, CCP will begin to truly understand population limitations caused by embracing an audience solely made up of the hardest of the hardcore. I don't think they're quite there yet.
The hardest of the hardcore. Yeah, I think basically, I mean, he's pretty much trying to say that that they've reached the limits of population growth, that they've gotten all the hardcore players that Eve's going to get. And I honestly don't think so. I think the market will increase slowly. Like, I'm not going to say all of a sudden they're going to get 100,000 more players in 2009, but I think as people... There's a lot more people playing MMOs nowadays than there was, you know, 3-4 years ago, thanks to other games, which shall remain nameless. I think that some of these people are going to probably look for a more advanced experience and quite possibly find it here. And Eve is a very niche game. Like, how many other sci-fi MMOs are there that are as well realized, you know? I mean, Tabula Rasa, brand new game, kind of...
Dead.
Yeah, dead. Totally dead. But it's, you know, it's a game that you would think would have done really well. It has a sci-fi edge, hence has a nerd cred. It is very much like certain other games in terms of barrier to entry, but... yeah, did not really have any kind of legs, which is kind of sad in a way. But I mean, I played it for a while, and it was had some very unique things to it that were just, I think, never really fully realized. I think it was rushed to market in a big way. But yeah, again, there's really no other sort of sci-fi based thing that's quite like Eve. There are others like Jumpgate and stuff like that, but those are more action oriented and don't have the same kind of complexities, and certainly don't have, like, the biggest point, which Eve has, which is the ability for the player to actually affect the outcome of the other player's games, like, in a real sense. You know, you can claim territory, you can change the lines on the map, and even if you don't want to do that in a player-made corporation or alliance way, you can do that through faction warfare. You know, of course, it's a different experience, but in general, though, you don't really see this in other games.
Well, let's talk about what might actually affect the future of Eve. And I mean, one of the things is you probably notice there's a pretty nasty credit crunch going on, and we seem to be sliding into, certainly in the UK, they're now saying this is going to be the worst recession since at least 1949 and possibly since the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how things are in Canada, but I'm willing to bet they're not good.
They're not super awesome. I think we're in better shape than most other countries are, like, especially places like the States. That's not to say it's everything's all rosy, but I mean, yeah, you just don't see it as badly as you think you would. Credit crunch, yeah. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of people who have multiple accounts in Eve, and that costs people money, right? And one of the easiest ways to reduce your load on your bank account per month is to start cutting out your subscriptions to online games. I'm sure
that's exactly the point I was going to make with this. And also, anybody who's got Eve as one of their second game account, that could well be another bad factor.
Right, exactly. I'm sure that will have an effect. I'm sure that there's probably already been an initial effect, even though we're seeing, you know, a higher than average number of players logging in on, you know, a week-by-week basis. I'm betting that there's already been quite a few people who have maybe been shedding the dead weight a bit on other accounts that they might have had, just to keep up with things.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, in the Guardian article, they said they were up to about 300,000 subscribers. So they haven't actually released subscriber numbers for a little while now, and Mogchart is dead. So I can't tell you exactly how many, but I would say 300,000 is not a bad estimate. Because the other thing about when you've got a recession in the credit crunch is people want a bit of escapism.
That's true.
I mean, in the Great Depression, Hollywood did bloody marvelously.
This is very true, but I would say, is Eve the right place for that? Probably not. It's less of an RPG than it is just an online game. I mean, you technically, for the most part, you go into Eve and you play yourself, for the most part, right? Or, you know, it lets you do things that you would normally do, but you're definitely not sort of playing, you know, a mage, you know? You know, you're not sort of taking on that whole... I think there's more mature outlets for a fantasy setting than... And I think that's more appealing for people for, you know, for escapism, because it's more abstracted. But I don't know, it's just my opinion. I think that people are going to run to other experiences for that, for the escapism reason.
Well, some are, some aren't, really. That's the thing. It's not like Eve's trying to capture the whole of the market, just, you know, a certain percentage of a type of person.
It's true. And
I get escapism from Eve, I don't know.
Well, yeah, of course, so do I. But I mean, like, there's, you know, there's also the non-online kind of aspect to it, where people can buy a game like Fallout 3 and play it to death for weeks on end, months even, and restart the game and play through it again and again and again if they want to. There's tons there to do and see and experience, and you only pay for it once. You know, games like Team Fortress 2 as well, or Left 4 Dead, you pay for it once and you got almost limitless online play, but you're not spending a fee to actually to take part in. So I think there's a lot of competition out there, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of games like Fallout 3 selling like crazy, because that game's doing really, really well.
Another thing is a lot of the very hardcore players actually pay for their gaming using game time cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So it's one way to save cash.
Exactly. So I think CCP and EU4 do fairly well. I don't think the credit crunch will affect them too much in either way.
It'll affect them more as people than it will as a company. Like, yeah, individually, so in Iceland, living there right now has got to be a really crazy experience. But in terms of the company, CCP, I mean, their money comes in through euros and US dollars, right? And yep, the game isn't even hosted in Iceland. So as an organization, CCP is probably pretty much okay. But yeah, I don't think, like I said, as a game, I think Evil weathered the storm quite well. I would think that you would have seen, if there's anything drastic to happen, you would have seen it already. Especially, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is going to be the fastest and the hardest, and it just doesn't seem to have happened. For the average player, at least. But then again, as time goes on, who knows, people might have to start paring down their dead weight a little bit more and more. So, who knows? Crazy times, man.
It is crazy times, but personally, my feeling is even CCP will weather this a lot better than any other companies. Well, I say any other companies. I think Blizzard will do fantastically no matter what, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if they lose half their subscriber base, they'll be fine. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they at? Like now, 11.5 million? I mean, that's just crazy.
I know. It's... Well, to be fair, you know, it's... Nah, we won't talk about Blizzard. So anyway, oh, Brent, you're wrong, and you're... Oh, he also says World of Darkness. He actually says Wold of Darkness. Wold of Darkness, do you see this?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just me who spells things wrong the whole time. Hooray!
Yeah.
He says, remain in the dark in 2009 and the internet community will start to get nervous. CCP will fail to respond in any effective way.
Well, I mean, it's an in-development game. What do you expect? I mean, most... Yeah. It depends on the type of game, but for the most part, most actual real bona fide good information on games that are currently in development, like pre-alpha, pre-anything kind of release stage, you're not going to get anything. You know, this is not really something that's a surprise.
Exactly. So, meh with that one as well.
Yeah, he goes on to talk about some other madness in here. You know, NCSoft, no big surprises there. Although I might have to disagree with him on his Age of Conan thing, that they're not going to close it in 2009.
But he says because Funcom isn't NCSoft.
That's fine. But I'm just saying, I might actually have to disagree with that. I think that probably sometime late summer or fall, I think you might actually see that. Unless they somehow manage to make some massive push in marketing, and somehow people decide that they want to go back and check that game out, I don't think you're going to see much happen out of it, but that's just me. He does mention even the Jumpgate Evolution stuff, where he says that they will launch in 2009 and will quickly become recognized as the number one spacefaring MMO, topping Eve's numbers almost immediately. Huh.
Because the original Jumpgate hasn't been anything special.
No, and from what I've seen of some of the initial reactions to the currently in development version of Evolution, obviously, is that it's kind of not very deep. And maybe there is a section of people who play Eve right now that might appreciate the more action-oriented stuff. But I just don't think there's enough there to hold people's attention for very long.
But it will be taking off a different audience if it does take off. It'd be taking off a different audience rather than just the Eve players, so that's what I suggest.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I don't know, man, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, yes, we'll see. We'll see how that one takes off.
Sorry, go on.
I mean, I've been in the game long enough to know that every so often the game gets announced and people confidently predict this will be the Eve killer. You know, the sci-fi thing, you know, with Star Wars Galaxies at one stage, and then it was, what else was it? It was things like the original Jump Gate, it was Anarchy Online, it was Earth and Beyond, and none of them is Pirates of the Burning Sea, and none of them have ever stepped up to the plate and looked like any real competition.
Yeah, and, for whatever reason. I mean, I've thought that Pirates of the Burning Sea would be, well, I mean, let's face it, I mean, it gives you... gives you the ability to play as a pirate. I mean, maybe they just barely missed that boat, so to speak. See what I did there? You know, of Pirates of the Caribbean, right? I mean, if they had released that right in the middle of that movie series' popularity spike, that would have been a huge thing for them. But I think
always
it just...
Play.
Oh, sorry?
That's always the way. Exactly the same thing happened with Lotro, which is not a bad game, let me just say. And it's not got bad numbers, let me just say. But can you imagine if they got it out while the movies were still in the theaters?
It would have been huge. I've tried the trials of that game, and I think it's far too WoW-like for my taste. Like, if they had taken the movie style... And I'm not saying make it super huge, realistic, gonna need like a supercomputer to run it type of MMO, but at least use some of the design aspects of, you know, the world, the armors, stuff like that. It's a little bit too cartoony for my taste. Maybe it's the areas that you start out in, but I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll give it a month and try it out for a month and see how it is. But I kind of think that if they had actually gone the route of making something as kind of hardcore-ish in terms of style as the movies were done, they would have really done well. I mean, it is doing well as a game, but I think it would have been a much more beneficial thing for them, but that's just my opinion.
Anyway, enough talking about other games. Time for homework assignment.
Homework assignment? Now, last week, I recommended World War Z. Did you check that out yet? Or you one-click ordered it, but I don't know if it's arrived yet.
It's arrived and it's been read. Excellent book, sir.
You read the whole book?
Yeah, cover to cover.
Awesome, good job.
Well, when you're ill in bed, frankly.
Ah, okay, so you had the time. So what did you think of it? Now, obviously not to spoil it for folks, but what did you think of the way it was written? Because I thought it was quite cunning.
I thought it was an excellent book. It really drags you in. Yeah, I love the sort of journalistic style of doing it. I love his explanation about how he does it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's some laugh out loud stuff there. There's some there, and you also get under the skin of certain of the personalities as well. It's very good.
Yeah, and it's neat that it kind of takes, you know, the angle of showing you the zombie apocalypse from perspectives that you would never think of. Right? Like, the blind Japanese guy one, you know, let's just say that was unique, right?
I mean, that was actually probably my favorite part.
That was awesome. I mean, it was like, yeah, stuff like that. It was like a blind monk or something, right? And how he would come up with a method of fighting in his head that would kill zombies. It was quite awesome. I enjoyed the book immensely myself. So that's good. I'm glad you liked it.
I did, yes. Now, we've got a choice here, because I did two shows ago, and then, so is your chance to do two, or would you like me to do one?
You can go ahead and do one. I'll see if I can double up another day.
Okay, this is actually a YouTube video, so it won't be very hard for people to see. I think I sent this one to you before, but I don't know if you've seen it yet, right? This is this Douglas Adams one.
Oh, yes, you did send this to me, yeah.
Yeah, it's a talk done by Douglas Adams at some university. We'll find out which one it is in a minute. UCT, whoever that is. Or UC. University of California, that would be it.
Yeah, just some nothing university. Oh, my God. Anyway, moving along.
Yeah, it's Douglas Adams, and he's actually talking about... one of his books, which not many people have read, but is in fact his favourite book, which is called Last Chance to See. And it's about all its travels around the world, talking about some of his favourite animals which he went to see. For example, there's a wonderful section about this type of bird called a kakapo from New Zealand.
Yeah, I remember that bit.
It's fantastically done. And he does a talk about just how badly these kakapos are at breeding, frankly. They're not very good at all.
Yeah, that's actually a really good bit, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just... It's about an hour and a half long, so, you know, settle down, get a cup of tea or whatever you like, and just listen to the utter joy of Douglas Adams.
It's good. It is very good.
It's absolutely hilarious, and there's a message to it all.
Yeah, there's a very good message, and that's the neatest part, is how there's, like, this... There is this message, and it's delivered in, obviously, a hilarious manner, because it's Douglas Adams, but it's an interesting thing, because it's very anecdotal. And I like that a lot, in the way the guy does his thing. In fact, because of that video, it's reminding me that I have like the big, gigantic, all complete collection of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy staring me down that I bought the other day. Not that I haven't read it before, but it's been a long time, so now I'm rereading it as we speak.
So you got the trilogy in five parts.
The trilogy in five parts, yeah. Oh, clever.
What was it? The increasingly inaccurately named... what's it? Hitchhiker's Guide trilogy.
Yeah. I love that stuff.
Douglas Adams does this a lot better than I do.
But yeah, but... Yeah, rest his soul. Really too bad about that guy.
Yeah, but anyway, this is just a little talk he does. It's called Parrots of the Universe and Everything, and it's on YouTube. I'll put the links in the show notes, of course. And it's just, I would say, a wonderful, wonderful little bit. And absolutely hilarious. I mean, I love the bit. For reasons which we won't go into, he's got to try and get condoms in China. In a bit of China where nobody speaks English at all.
Yeah, that bit
you
was...
remember that bit?
That bit was
absolutely
really...
hilarious.
That bit was very good.
Yeah. You, look, watch the show, you'll understand it. It's, yeah, absolutely brilliant. He's just talking about these very rare, very endangered animals, which he went to see, along with a zoologist. And I haven't actually read the book... Last Chance to See, but being Douglas Adams, I can confidently predict it's excellent. But in the meantime, watch this video because it's extra cool.
It was called what? Parrots, the Universe and Everything, right?
Yes, Douglas Adams : Parrots, the Universe and Everything. I'll put a link to you in MSN and you can put it in the show notes.
Oh, already have it, and I already have.
You see?
Way ahead of you.
Super, super efficient, Mr. Winter Blinkers.
Thank you. So, community news! What's been going on in the Eve community? Well,
first up, the tournament happened, and as I said earlier, Pandemic Legion won, and you missed it. You missed the Eve TV weekend.
I did. I had all sorts of goodies planned for people that weekend, and I couldn't do any of it because I was really, really busy. Well, that particular weekend of the finals... I was planning on doing what I normally do, which is get online and start snapping photos and stick them on Flickr live for people to check out, because normally you can't see that with the streaming stuff. But yeah, I ended up going...
And they do a piss-take cartoon at some stage.
Exactly. But I ended up actually going snowboarding instead and survived it. So it was good. It was a good weekend for me.
Yes, I'm sure it was a good weekend. However, it was the epic weekend when it came to Eve TV.
Dude, and it was the first time I've made it down the mountain and haven't fallen once. That is epic. And I came off the chairlift on a snowboard without face planting. That's a challenge. Well, if you haven't done it really much before.
I'm just imagining you face planting, and yeah. it's a good mental image.
That's... sad, but no.
Anyway,
yeah.
Back to Eve TV.
Yeah. Back to Eve TV.
It was the best weekend of tournament broadcasting we've had yet.
Was it smooth?
It was smooth. It was quality. The matches were great. The commentators were great. Shout out Muscat to Croven here, because I mean they all did a great job, but it was Croven's first time. He's breaking his Eve TV virginity, and yeah, he did a great job.
Awesome. Yeah, and Who'd they go through for the streaming on this one? Do you know?
Yeah, same guys as we used, Total Stream.
Nice.
Who, same guys we used on the first one, not the Jalipo guys. But streaming was absolutely fine for us in the UK, at least for me in the UK. I imagine a few people are troubles, but no, it worked an absolute charm.
Yeah, I haven't heard any complaining about it. And I mean, all the, well, not all the videos, but I think, well, maybe they have put them all. They put a lot of them, but definitely the final is on YouTube. CCP's YouTube thing is pretty kick-ass, so if you haven't checked it out, check it out. And they got the video of the finals among other videos on there, like of the actual tournaments, so...
Yeah, they've got videos of all the matches there, and what's more, it's in high definition widescreen.
Sweet.
So it looks really damn sexy, I've got to say.
It's good.
And yeah, I say it was a really, really excellent broadcast, and I, you know, can't wait for the next one, because, yeah, wow. You know, best weekend of EVE TV yet, and yeah. And you missed it, you fool.
I had.
Oh, and we finally got to see what Kroven looks like.
It's kind of funny, isn't it?
He's got a ginger goatee.
Yes, he does. Hey, he's a good guy. Kroven's awesome. Go Kroven. But yes, congratulations to everyone involved, all the teams that competed, as well as all the people at CCP and anyone else who has had anything to do with this whole thing for putting together an awesome production. I think that this is excellent. I hope they keep on doing it. Don't stop.
No.
Thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. Anyway.
I'm the one who normally sings really bad.
Well, when you're dropping the ball, someone's got to pick it up. But, yeah, tournament
stuff. I'm hungover. Leave me alone.
This is the perfect time for you to sing. Boost your spirits, so to speak. Poor you. You're so done.
I am. I'll tell you the best bit on EVE TV. Right? They did, like, you know, you do the little packages, little pre-recorded films. They did this absolutely brilliant one with, well, he's Mindstar, he used to be James W, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this one?
No.
It's absolutely brilliant because it says CCP's Icelandic Lessons.
Oh, no.
Right. And so there's him and a few other people there, right? And one of the Icelandic CCP goes, today we're going to teach you to say this. So hello in Icelandic is this word, right? But the actual translation, the word in Icelandic means anus. and it keeps on going like that. And then a bit later, you see him going up into this other building and talking to the receptionist and trying to speak in Icelandic, like all nervously. And he starts saying things like anus, and it's like bleep, 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 bleep. And she calls the police.
Oh.
And then filmed him just being dragged off by these police in handcuffs and thrown in a car and stuff. Absolutely brilliant.
So, the moral of the story is, don't talk to anyone at CCP for lessons in Icelandic, because they'll screw you like this.
Yeah, absolutely. But it does give the rest of us a good laugh.
Indeed.
I wonder if he's still in jail, because we didn't see him on the TV, did we? He didn't do any commentary or anything, so he might be still in jail.
Hmm. Perhaps.
Yes. Presumably getting arrested is one of the regular hazards of working at CCP.
Oh, dear God. I mean, you may be right. But yeah, so anyway, good YouTube coverage, good live coverage, everything's awesome. Tournament, do more. I mean, honestly, seriously, they need to do more of this stuff. It's really good. I know that they've talked about actually, like, you know, just kind of giving us the tools to do the tournaments, but I mean, it's kind of a neat spectacle. Hope they keep it up.
Yep, and something else we should mention. Firstly, they broke the players online record, which we mentioned before. They got over 50k online.
Yes.
Woot.
Awesome.
But they also broke the concurrent viewers record on EVE TV. They got 15,000, I believe, or just under.
Nice.
Which is pretty damn good. And the third thing is, they actually, on terms of the YouTube video, their channel had, last time I looked, of the just the final, had over 100,000 views of it. So that's pretty epic as well.
That, yeah, that is actually really good.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking I've got the wrong number here.
So yeah, you're thinking 18,801. I'm looking at it right now. so you were...
That's nearly 100,000.
You were kind of close. Not. So, but yeah, no, they actually, their channel, they've been beefing up their YouTube channel like crazy. So that's it's pretty cool. If you're not a subscriber to it, you should really do it because they got some pretty good stuff on there.
Yep. And, yeah, thank you to that. CCP Charlie, I think, is a man who does a lot to do with that, so cheers to you.
She may be a man. This has not been confirmed yet.
Perhaps we need to go to FanFest. I don't know, because they wear kilts there, so pull up the kilt, and then we can discover one way or another.
Tell you what, you do that. I'll photograph it. I'll photograph you actually pulling up the kilt, and I'll just rapid fire shot of like the resulting kick to the face, and all that other stuff that happens when you do stuff like
and
that.
And then we both get arrested.
Not before I put that up on Flickr. yeah. So what else is going on? Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, because you've been busy, but I've noticed that they did a complete revamp of the EVE website.
They have.
It's kind of neat. There's all these like little expanding menu doohickeys on the side, like all like the EVE Insider and EVE Support areas are now like little expanding menus. It's pretty cool.
Is that the technical term, expandy doohickeys?
Expandy doohickeys. It's the HTML, man. Doohickey HTML.
I'm pretty sure it's not HTML.
But anyway, it's definitely not.
Not to be an expert.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's JavaScript.
So yeah.
Anyway, so
congratulations to the expanding doohickey.
Yeah, the developer of the expanding doohickeys did a good job. But yeah, basically, other than that, they really haven't done much. I mean, there's some general organization stuff that's been done overall, but I mean, it's not like there's anything shockingly new. The item database thing now links off to the Evilpedia, which I think it's been doing for a little while. So, but now it's all kind of cleaned up nicely on the menus. So, pretty good stuff. Yeah. They've also been updating the in development and on the drawing board and stuff like that sections as well, so you can see what's really being worked on, which is nice and new.
Or what they're claiming to be working on.
Well, yeah, like the in-testing section now really shows off what's going on with the Apocrypha expansion, with all the new stuff that's being on there. Did you know, by the way, as an aside... Maybe an aside, but did you know that actually they've been adding in effects and stuff in there too? So people who have been in their testing will have noticed some new and interesting effects when they trigger modules. So
yeah, and not just that, I've seen the new Stargate animation.
Good lord. Yes.
Which is pretty epic, really.
It's pretty slick. I still say probably hands down one of my favorite features on this is the overview freeze. So now when you hold down the left control button, it freezes the overview state, so it doesn't scroll around when people come and go and move around and get closer and further from you. So, control clicking on an item on the overview lets you lock onto them, right? Lets you target them. This is perfect, because in large battles, that thing is moving around like crazy. So, yeah, it's a little easier to manage actually doing anything on your overview now in the middle of a fight, which is good. I think that's a really good feature.
Hey, it says in Evilpedia, is there a page about the podcast?
I don't know. There's a search in Evilpedia. Maybe you could try using it.
We should write one.
I don't think that's good form, actually. You're not supposed to write your own Evilpedia entries. Well, I guess...
If we tell the truth and tell everybody how crap it is.
Well, you're not supposed to write your own Wikipedia entries, so maybe Evilpedia's a little more forgiving that way, but I'm not going to do that. So maybe someone out there will be nice enough to do that. But I'm not about to write about myself. I want to do that. But there is a community section in there, where presumably they will, you know, have people writing things like that in there. So,
but people write about their alliances and stuff.
I guess.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners can do something for us, and, you know, make sure you tell people how crap it is, though, because we won't need to lie.
I'm sorry, I'm just not going to agree with that.
Okay, Blinky wants you to lie, but I don't.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Yes, moving on. So, yeah, cool new site. As far as I know, they still haven't fixed the whole session problem, because occasionally I'll get that when I'm in the forums, where, like, my session will drop and start up again and drop, like, in the process of replying to a message, which is really annoying. So, yeah, hopefully they find a way around that, considering the rest of the internet has. Anyway.
Very nice.
Zing. So, yeah. Other than that, what else has been going on in the Eve community?
Okay, next on next Sunday, or this Sunday coming up by the time this goes out, there will be a London meet for Eve, which I will be there at. This is being set up by Midnighter. You know Midnighter?
No.
Scottish bloke who wears really bright clothes and really weird glasses.
Oh, the guy that has the goggles.
Yeah, that's
they do,
him.
They do nothing. Yeah, he was at FanFest. Yeah, okay, I remember him. Yeah, nice guy, actually.
Nice guy, but odd-tasting clothes and glasses.
Very. Very. Not hard to spot in a FanFest photo gallery. But, yeah, cool. So he's setting it up in London?
Yeah, London. It's a place called Goodman's Fields. It's a J.D. Weatherspoon's pub. It's, well, links in the show notes. It's on Mansell Street, and it's very near Tower Hill Tube or Aldgate Tube, so it's in the east end of London. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's going to kick off at about 4, and I'm going to go on till late. So, it's pretty damn cool, Eve Meets. I don't know. Have you ever been to one apart from FanFest?
No.
Well, take my word for it.
I'm sorry. Did you want me to make an excuse up for you? Because I don't have one. No, I don't know. I just never have.
I don't know. There's probably not that many Eve players in your bit of the world, I guess.
There's occasionally is the odd one that's started up around here, and I never get a chance to go to it. But there was one I was actually going to go to, by surprise, but didn't actually make it out, unfortunately. So, sorry.
Can you imagine that? They probably set up banners saying, "Welcome Winterbling."
Yeah,
you know,
no.
Red carpet for you.
Highly, highly doubt it.
And then you don't show up.
You ass. Anyway. Urban.
There are some people showing up who deserve the red carpet. This one, like, should I say, Verone showing up. Eve TV expert and ace wearer of hats.
Mm-hmm.
Although something else, we got to see his hair this time on Eve TV.
I was beginning to think he didn't have any. But that's...
Apparently. Well, it could have been a toupee.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed.
Perhaps. But yeah, no, yeah. That's newsworthy. I'm glad we mentioned that in the podcast, because I'm sure that everyone's time is... so well spent with that.
Oh, come on. It's probably more relevant than anything else we've said this.
Verone has hair, everybody. Verone has hair. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes.
Other celebrities who are apparently going to be there? Zapatero? Ace Eon Editor?
Ace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe Ars, I don't know.
No, he's good. He's good.
Yeah, which is good. And I'll probably get very, very drunk on wheat beer with him again. That tends to happen. Serenity Steel, the guy who made the Eve Maps book, he's going to be there.
Cool.
He's a really nice guy. Roger Blake's going to be there. Who else do I know? Harden. Harden's cool. He's going to be there.
Nice.
I don't know who this is, but the name is Kaka 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 Kaka.
Excellent.
You see that?
Please videotape introductions. Hi, my name is Urban Mongrel. I'd like to introduce you to my friend Kaka 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 Kaka. Go for it. I dare you.
You can tell that person is a goon, can't you?
I guess.
A name like that has to be.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, and a good friend of mine, Isidine Bromide, Austrian dude, he's on the maybe list. This guy, known him for a long time. We, like, back when I was on Eve Radio, he was DJ there as well. The guy called Gotchi.
Cool.
Very funny. Yeah. So, yeah, he's probably far too good-looking to go to need meat, to be honest.
Oh, man. Well, they let you in, so I guess it's not all about that center of the bell curve. Anyway.
Yes, I'm off way, way at the bottom.
Exactly. Well, yeah, fringes are allowed. Yeah, there's, God, I'm looking at the list. There's a lot of people on there. Yeah.
Yeah, 89 confirmed. Well, 90, because I'm going as well.
So, 90 males.
Is there any known females amongst this list? There's Lady Gladriel, who might be a girl, who might be a shim. might be a jade. Constantine.
Who knows? It's one of those things with online gaming. Well, online in general. But yeah, pretty good stuff. Again, go there, take pictures, show pictures.
I never take pictures at these things. I'm just too busy drinking.
Well, hopefully someone who's going will take pictures of Urban drinking, so we will get proof that he actually can. And
half a shandy and I'm on the floor. Half
nice.
A shandy, heavy on the lemonade.
That's why Zapatero goes every time they do one of these things, because you're an easy drunk. Anyway. He knows you're a sure thing for him, so... No, Zap's good.
I don't think, to be honest, Zap's into slightly podgy male English dorks. So I think I'm fairly safe.
Pretty sure. So yeah. Anywho, who else is... Well, that's good. I mean, like, if anyone... You know, it should be said, there is an Events and Gatherings forums on... Yeah, like the EVE website. So if you're curious if someone's actually set up a decently sized meet in your area, or is kind of just looking for interest in one, I mean, head there and check it out. There's a lot of stuff there, like a lot of threads, people just in all over the place, right? There's like a London one, there's a Chicago one. London one's probably the one you're going to. There's one in Vegas. Well, that's a big one, because we should talk about that one.
Yeah, we should, because...
There's people that are going to be there that are not just people.
Well, they are just people, but they have got very cool jobs.
So there's going to be some developers here, yes?
Well, let's start off with the actual meet. As I said, it's in Vegas on May the 8th and the 9th. I've actually been to an EVE Do in Vegas before, and it is epic. Mm-hmm. There's actually set up... You remember at FanFest 2007, there was that really cool goon guy... And his friend, who was his helper, the goon guy in the wheelchair.
I forget the name. I always forget the guy's name. But I know,
I'm crap with names, but yeah. I mean, the really, really nice guy, both guys, both of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, he was actually really lucky, because he won a tour of CCP as well.
Yeah. Lucky guy.
Yeah, but anyway, they're the guy setting this up, which is damn cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're having this EVE mate, and yeah, Over's going to be there, and Active Alley are going to be there, presumably doing research into playing poker in ambulation, I would hope.
Excellent.
I want there to be poker in ambulation, I don't know about you guys.
They might not call it poker, but maybe they'll, I don't know, maybe they will, who knows.
I don't think the word poker is copyrighted.
No, but I'm just saying, if there's any kind of regulations for online poker and not something else, anyway.
Yes. you play online poker so long as you don't bet real money in the States, I thought.
It's true, but with EVE, I don't know, is that a gray area with EVE? Because technically speaking, ISK is kind of sort of transferable that way.
No, because it's not, it's got no intrinsic value officially.
Officially, but eBay says different, pal. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but officially it all belongs to CCP, and you know there's no intrinsic value to it.
Nice.
So I'm sure there will be lawsuits about this. Quite frankly, though,
but... Go to the EVE Vegas website, dude. I'll link this in show notes for those who don't have it. But there's an actual. There's probably like one of the worst pictures of Over. On there. Let me just send you the URL.
The one with him in the pink wig.
No, it's not like that bad. But, here. Click on that and go to the special guest section. It will scroll and you will see. I don't know, he looks kind of got this whole, like, Lee Majors kind of look about him in that one.
He looks like a really distraught call center operative there.
Yeah, distraught or, you know, with intestinal distress.
Yes.
I really need to get off this phone call, because I gotta go badly. So anyway, we'll link this up in the show notes, not that particular picture, but the general Eve Vegas website. Tickets are $100. And all the information about where this is all happening at, and probably all the answers to all your questions on accommodations and all this stuff is all there. It's at the Imperial Palace. That sounds quite regal.
I've been to Caesar's Palace, and that was quite scummy. So in Vegas.
Oh, there you go.
So I don't necessarily believe it, but yeah. If you go there, stay where I stayed, which is the Excalibur, which is the cheapest, tackiest place in Vegas, and believe me, that's saying something.
So why are you recommending this, then?
The reason I'm recommending this is it was... where I was staying is where all the Spring Break kiddies were there, and it's a bit late for Spring Break this, but anyway, when I was there, all the Spring Break kiddies were there, and they were all there thinking they were the man. They'd had like half a bottle of Budweiser, and they were pissed, and they were trying to play poker, and yeah, it was really good. It was so easy, to be honest, and... Well, put it this way, 4 days in Vegas, playing poker pretty much constantly, and ended up only $30 down, and most of that was because I got cocky and started playing against people who knew what they were doing. So yeah, if you want to play poker against crap people, that's where you want to go.
Nice. Although, it might be good this time around if you go there for several days to show up to the Eve meet. And meets me people.
Yeah, actually, one of the best casinos, the one I enjoyed the most, was the Hard Rock.
Uh-huh.
If you've have you seen that film 21?
No.
Awesome film. It's about card counting and stuff.
Yeah, no, I know.
Really good film, but they do a lot in the hard. Do a lot of filming in the Hard Rock there.
Cool.
And yeah, it's my favorite casino in Vegas because it's got really hot waitresses wearing leather hot pants.
Hmm. That's...
I know what I like.
Because there's no shortage of that in Vegas, I'm just saying.
the other thing about Vegas is you've got... If you want to go to a strip club, you've got to prioritize, right?
Hmm.
Because you can either go for ones which will serve you alcohol, but then the G-strings stay on, or the fully nude ones will only serve you soft drinks. So you've got to prioritize which is more important to you.
Huh.
I'm an education.
But you know that, just saying that, prostitution is legal there. So, I mean, really, if you really want your money's worth, dude, it's there.
Is it legal?
I thought
it was.
In the state of Nevada, prostitution's legal.
Well, I don't...
you're disappointed, right? Your last Vegas trip could have been so much better. But, yeah, anyway.
So, if you want to pick up an STD from a whore, Vegas is something at the place you could legally do that.
Exactly.
Sweet!
So, go meet some devs and other Eve players and get yourself some diseases and stuff. Should be fun. Anyway, I think that's about all I got for community news this time around.
That's about all I've got as well. I'm bound to be other stuff happening which we've forgotten, but you know us.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, so cool. That's a podcast.
Cool. And you're going to be editing this one.
I will. So this will probably end up becoming a giant clusterfuck. But yeah, there you go.
Yes, you're gonna have to have the bleep machine for this one.
No way, man. I don't care about no clean tags. We can go nuts with all the swears we want.
To be fair, even if we got bleeping, we've still got all the stuff about you want to get an STD from a whore. We can't bleep out the whole thing.
Okay, so we'll just rate our podcast M for mature and move on. I mean, come on.
We rate it S for suck.
No. What happens in Vegas, man, stays in Vegas. You know what we forgot to do?
What
you've been playing?
Alright.
Yeah. So, So, what else have you been playing these days, dude?
What I've been playing is, firstly, when I was on site, I actually took my 360 with me one week, just because it was that or getting absolutely trolleyed in the bar every night, and frankly, my wallet and my liver couldn't cope with much more. So we took that down and played a whole load of FIFA and stuff. But I also completed Fallout 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me how much I hate games with level caps.
Yeah. I haven't finished it myself, but I do hate games with level caps.
I got up to level 20 and, really enjoying it. Yeah, as it's a Bethesda game, you're doing all the side quests, having a great laugh with all of that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you run into this, bang, level 20, no more experience points, no more nothing.
Yep. I think they learned their lesson.
Yeah, I might as well just, finish the game, see the ending animation and, leave it out. So I just went straight back to the Brotherhood of Steel, to the Citadel, and completed it then. But, it really was a mood breaker for me, and this whole level cap thing.
Yeah, I think they kind of learned their lesson with Morrowind of having, not a really decent level cap lets you just become basically a god of the game, which pretty much breaks it eventually, which is why games like Oblivion had similar type of thing, although I think Oblivion, from what I've been told at least, compared to Fallout, has a lot more of a I don't know what you would call it. It's a little bit more of a lengthy experience to get to that level cap.
It's a level 30 is a level cap in Oblivion, so you can actually do a lot more of the game and a lot more side quests and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of disappointing. As long as you have fun.
Well, it was a decent game. I mean, I know some people have been hating on it for the plot, and so yeah, I can kind of see that. But it's, wasn't a terrible game by any chance. Well worth the time. Wasn't a life-changing experience either, though.
Well, from what I heard, a lot of people's main issues with it were that once you finished it, you can't kind of keep playing like you could with Oblivion.
Or the other Fallout games.
Yes. So, in that respect, if you're getting kind of close to finishing Fallout, you might want to stop and maybe play some of the other non-story quests. Or just go adventuring, because that's right here, it's really at. And I've been sort of doing a bit of that in my game, too, but nowhere near as much as I like.
Good. So anyway, pretty good though.
Cool.
So what have you been playing?
I've been doing a bunch of stuff, oddly enough. I played Fear 2, finally. It just came out actually a week ago? A little bit more than a week ago. Played it pretty steadily. Damn fun game. If you ever played Fear 1, you're pretty much in for more of the same, except now the engine looks absolutely beautiful. It's amazing how much atmosphere they're able to do with this new engine that they got, and it's a lot of fun going in slow motion and turning your enemies into fine red mist with all the bullets that you shoot at them. It's excellent. It's a good fun game. So I don't know if you've played Fear 1, have you?
No.
Yeah, so kind of sci-fi action first-person shooter horror. Mm-hmm. Very odd blend of genres, but it's done very well. Kind of has that kind of J-horror feel to it, right? With, Girl from the Ring style of horror stuff. So a lot of that happening in this one as well. And other than that, playing a bunch of Burnout Paradise. Hands down, I would have to say probably one of the best supported console games in this generation, period. They have changed that game so much since it's come out, and not just, fixes, but just, major game features that have been added thanks to community feedback and stuff like that. It's been quite great, because I remember first playing the game and getting rather frustrated at one point with the lack of race restarts. So you'll be going on a race, it'll take you from one end of the map to the other, and then right at the end you'll drive off a mountain by accident and be like, oh, well, damn, because, to get back to where you were is, impossible by the time the race is going to be over, right? And in order to go and redo that race, you have to drive back to the intersection you started the race at, which could take you a while, which is kind of stupid. So now they actually introduced a race restart feature, and that's been a godsend. Lots of really cool stuff in that game, ton of fun. I played on my PS3, so for anyone out there who has added me, if you have that game, let's do some free burning, what they call it, where you kind of just drop into somebody's game and have a ton of fun together. So yeah, good stuff, man.
So I guess that covers everything we're going to bother to talk about this week.
Yeah, that's about right. So yeah, next week, Urban-ish. Yeah, next week. Yes. Commit to this. Commit.
I commit to nothing.
Oh, this is what I have to work with. Oh, jeez. All right, we'll do our best. I know we said we're going to get back on a regular schedule. We'll do our best. We try.
Yes, we are very trying.
You're so out of it today, man.
I had a very, very long night to drink.
You're just gonna... Come on. Another Alka-Seltzer. Something. Have a Red Bull or something.
Not a bad idea, actually, except all the shops will be shut by now.
Really? Oh, that's right, because there is a time zone difference. I forgot about that. It's like not even noon here.
I've drank like an entire cafetiere of coffee during the course of this podcast.
So if we just really stretch this out long enough, you'll eventually piss your pants.
Well, I've got an empty cafetiere here now.
So. Oh, God.
That's horrible.
And on that note, I think we'll end this one. Fly safe, definitely, everybody.
Yeah, definitely the M for mature tag.
Oh, God. Yes, fly safe, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Lock eyes from across the room, down my drink while the rhythms boom. Take your hand and skip the names, no need here for the silly games. Make our way through the smoking crowd, the club is the sky and I'm on your cloud. Move in close as the lasers fly, our bodies touch and the angels cry. Leave this place, go back to yours, our lips first touch outside your doors. The whole night what we've got in store, whisper in my ear that you want some more and I jizz in my pants. This really never happens, you can take my word, I won't apologize, that's just absurd. Mainly your fault for the way that you dance, and now I jizz in my pants. Don't tell your friends or I'll say you're a slut. Plus it's your fault you were rubbing my butt. I'm very sensitive, some would say that's a plus. Now I'll go home and change. I need a few things from the grocery. Do things alone now, mostly. Left me heartbroken, not looking for love. Surprised in my eyes when I looked above the checkout counter and I saw her face. My heart stood still, so did time and space. Never thought that I could feel real again, but the look in her eyes said I need a friend. She turned to me, that's when she said it. Looked me dead in the face, asked cash or credit, and I jizzed in my pants. It's perfectly normal, nothing wrong with me, but we're going to need a clean up on aisle 3. And now I'm posed in an awkward stance because I jizzed in my pants. To be fair, you were flirting a lot, plus the way you bag cans got me bothered and hot. Please stop acting like you're not impressed. One more thing, I'm gonna pay by check. Last week, I saw a film. As I recall, it was a horror film. Walked outside into the rain, checked my phone and saw you rang, and I jizzed in my pants. Speeding down the street when the red lights flash, need to get away, need to make a dash. A song comes on that reminds me of you, and I jizz in my pants. Next day, my alarm goes off and I jizz in my pants. Open my window and a breeze rolls in, and I jizz in my pants. When Bruce Willis was dead at the end of Sixth Sense, I jizzed in my pants. I just ate a grape and I jizzed in my pants. I went to jizzed the okay. In my pants.
Seriously, you guys, can we? Okay.
I jizzed right in my pants.